But we're going to start tonight in Colossians chapter 3. The last few weeks we've studied on, we started with strife a couple weeks ago and had a good study on what strife is, how it functions, and how to keep it out of our life, why it's so important to keep strife out of our life. Then we talked about fretting and worry and fear, and we talked anger. Last week we talked about anger and bitterness. And that got a little bit meaty there, didn't it? But I really learned some deep things on that and more revelation. Tonight we're going to talk more about how to deal with those things. What can I do, you know, to handle these things? Most people think when you've got anger and bitterness and worry and fear and all these things working in your mind, you're just kind of like a prisoner to them. You can't do anything. You're just trapped. But you're not. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been delivered from that. And this book right here tells us how to deal with those things and how to walk a life of peace right in the middle of the storms of life. And it's so awesome how God made us creatures of choice so that we can choose. You know, mankind chose through Adam, he chose a direction to go. He chose to separate from God. With that choice that he separated, with the same choice, he can come back.
Amen.
You know, we chose the way in our life, and I've got a whole bunch of pile, and most of us do, a large pile of problems and issues, or probably most of them my own making. At least, I know some of them are. the biggest part of them my own making, so... With the choices that I made to put myself there, I can also choose to move away from that. I can choose that, as we mentioned, we talked about our now moment quite a bit, and I'm big on that. You can change anything in your life in your now moment. You can't change it in your past moment. You can't change it in your future moment because you're not living there yet. But you can make changes in your now. And God has given us tools and ways of doing that. So let's look at Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at some keys to dealing with anger and offenses and the things that we walk through in our life. We've talked about what they are and how they function. Now let's look at how to get away from them. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect, this is the New King James. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, are we the elect of God?
Yes.
If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we've been born again, we're the elect of God. We're chosen. He chose us. Yeah. You know, He chose us. We received what He chose. We decided, okay, you know, You chose me, Lord. I'm going with it. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Again, we know from studies that the words let and but and put and therefore and when, those are all choice words. And the word put is a choice word. So whenever you see the word put in the Bible or let, when you see those, it automatically tells me I've got to do something. I'm responsible for something here. You know, so here it says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So these are things, what it listed there, all of those things that it listed, tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving, those are all things that I have to choose to do. Now, I'm not alone when I choose those things. I choose them because God commanded me to do that. But when he commands us to do something, He also gives us the ability to do it. He will never tell us to do something and then not give us the power and the ability to do it. We may not know how, but He'll teach us that. Our part is to make the decision to do it. And the reason is because if we do not do this, if we do not do these things, make these choices, then the enemy has a foothold and a doorway in. And I don't want him to have a foothold in my life.
Amen.
And many of us have a foothold in our life. He has a foothold in our lives. We have no idea how he got there. and we have no idea how to deal with Satan. We can easily deal with him. We deal with him with the Word. We deal with him by the promises that God made. When God says to put on, when I choose to put on tender mercies and kindness, when I do that on by choice, that automatically binds the enemy. If I choose to do that, and I do it, I make my decision, and I start walking in that, I choose to be kind, I choose to have humility, I choose to be meek or gentle, that's what that word means, be gentle, and be long-suffering or be patient. When I choose to do that, God backs that. When we got born again, the Holy Spirit came into our spirit man and became one with us. The strengthener lives in us, as we'll see here shortly. He strengthens us. He causes us to be strengthened in those areas where normally I would struggle. I may struggle with being kind when somebody's mean to me. I may struggle with someone that has constantly doing something to harm me or to come against me. And I may fly off, like we talked about when we talked about strife, I may fly off the handle pretty easily, but I don't have to. I may feel like I have to, but I don't have to. God has put within me peace himself by the Holy Spirit. And I can, with the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, I can resist that. But I have to make the choice to do it. Once I make the choice to do it, God backs it. But if I don't make the choice, then he can't back it. I'm on my own. It's so awesome knowing, for me personally, like I shared with you, I used to be a very angry person before I got born again. I was very angry. And I had reasons to, as I shared with you a few weeks ago. And most of us here have reasons that we can justify our anger. But when I found Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and found out that I did not have to live that way, I don't have to live that way, that he's given me the tools and the ability not to live that way. And when I found out the benefits that God gives us by living the right way, the things that happen in our life because we make those choices. And I've lived a life of peace for many years. I know Nate has a testimony, and many of us, my wife does, many of us have testimonies where we used to be pretty ornery people, and people were ornery to us, and we justified that. But by God's grace and mercy, and spending time in his living word, the living word of God, he taught us how to overcome those things. And that's what we're studying here. How do I overcome it? But it says here that we are the elect of God, holy and beloved, then to put on tender mercies. Well, how do I put tender mercies on? By being merciful. Why does God want us to be merciful? Because mercy is founded in love, and God is love. He is love. He's the being love. And we're born of love, so we're love creatures. We're not supposed to be walking around in anger and bitterness and fear and worry and all these things. We're supposed to be walking our life in peace. Those circumstances are still there, but we see them through different eyes. And now the Holy Spirit is strengthening us. Praise God that he'll do that. But I put on tender mercies by being merciful instead of being angry. By being merciful to those who are unkind to me. And put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Meekness means gentle in your ways. You're not a doormat by any means. You're probably, you are. If you're walking in love, you're walking the strongest walk possible. There's nothing stronger than love. You may appear to be a doormat, but you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords inside you, living in you, teaching you how to walk through that. Love overcomes evil. Matter of fact, as we read a couple weeks ago, overcome evil with good. That's how you overcome evil. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind, but it works. It works because God tells us to do it. How can I be long-suffering? Long-suffering is the same as being patient. Being patient. I train myself to be patient with others, patient with the circumstances around me. That doesn't happen overnight. Like I told you, I spent 72 years getting to where I am, so it's going to take a couple days to change it.
Well, it's learned behavior.
It's learned behavior. Well, when those circumstances come up, I need to make a quality choice. I'm not going to do that. I am going to walk God's way. And then watch God work through that. You know, like I said, if you have two factions here, they're coming together, they're angry. The moment that anger starts up, there's a hedge goes up, a shield, and you're not getting through it. You can say the same exact thing the other person says. They won't hear you. Because they're so locked in to this confrontation, they can't get by it. The devil is fueling that. He wants you there. So you're a prisoner to that. And I don't want to be a prisoner to that. I've had my time there. But see, when the other one's mad, and you come at it with kindness or gentleness or don't respond in my kind, that other person runs out of fuel quickly. They will run out of things to say. Sometimes they get madder after a while because you're not saying anything or you're not responding the same way. But eventually they'll see something different in your life. The Holy Spirit is strengthening you, and you can stand right in the middle of that storm and bear it and walk right out of there with peace in your life. What happened then, instead of being locked in that anger, both conflicting, now that thing's broken. It's broken. Now God can work not only in your life, He can work in their life because you have opened the door for Him. But as long as you respond in my kind, God can't move in that because we're choosing to do that. So that's what it's saying here, to be long-suffering, to be meek, to bear with one another, and forgive one another if anyone has a complaint against anyone, against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, how did Christ forgive us? Even when we didn't even exist yet, He went to that cross for us. The Bible says that He died once for all.
Hallelujah.
No matter who they are, no matter how mean or ornery they are, and we give some examples like Hitler. That's the only one I can think of right off the top of my head that's everybody knows is really bad. God loves him too. He gave his life for him too. He didn't have to go that way. He could have repented, just like Judas could have repented. No matter how mean and ornery and bitter they are, God still loves them. His mercy is still extended to them. But they have to choose. They have to choose. All of us have to make our own choice. We have to choose. Part of the best news I ever had in my life is the fact that I could choose. That I didn't have to stay that way. That I could make a choice. Now, someone had to come along and tell me I had a choice. Because most of us don't even know we have a choice. Don't even know we can choose. It's not something that's in their normal pathway of life. But God made it available to anyone who will choose. We choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We move from death to life. From hopelessness to hope. From death to eternity. But we all have to make our own choice. And if we don't choose, then the others function. That's what we got to understand, is if I do not choose, then the other one's already been chosen, if they're automatic. You know, there's certain things in life that automatically happen, but I can change the way that automatically happened. It doesn't have to if I make a change. If I make a slight turn in my life, that thing didn't have to go that way. But because I didn't change, it was automatic. So that's the way this works. If I don't make a choice to love that person anyways, then that bitterness and anger and all of that is going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to tear both lives apart. It's going to continue to do destruction, and why we wind up in hell. I mean, that's a big hot foot. That's something that's really, that's really eternity. There's no way out of it. But I don't have to. See, the price was paid. God paid the price. But then it says in verse 14, it says, but above all. Now, all encompasses how much?
Everything.
All.
Everything.
But above all these things, put on love. Notice you got to put it on. Again, that's a choice I have to make. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection or completeness. And let, there's that word let, it's a choice word again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, verse 14 in the Amplified Classic says, and above all these, put on love and enfold yourself with the bond of perfection, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. I like that image that the Amplified uses when it says to enfold yourself. What I get the image of is love being like a bathrobe. And you just got out of a bath or something or a shower, and you put your robe on and you draw it together. You're enfolding yourself in love. What it's saying is wrap yourself up in love. Let love be your garment. Let love be who you are. Enfold yourself in love. Put on love and enfold yourself with the bond of perfection, the bond of completeness. This is something I have to choose. See, God's made it available. But if I don't do my part, it won't work. I can read that scripture and want it. But if I don't, in those times of conflict, if I don't ask the Holy Spirit to help me with those things and make a choice not to be the old man I was, to make a change here. And if I don't do that, then that thing's going to keep growing. How many wants anger and bitter and fear and anger and all these things to grow in our life? Well, I don't want it. Not when there's a way out of it. When I don't have to. And the thing that hurts me when I've got odds with someone, that I'm not only, it don't only affect me, but it's hurting that other person. And usually it's a person I love. It's a person I want that person to have a better life. I don't want them to go that way. But see, I'm adding fuel to the fire when I respond in my kind. But when I respond in kindness and love and compassion, or I don't participate in that anger, when I don't do that, now I'm giving that other person life. I'm giving him an opportunity. I'm sharing the love of God with that person. I don't have to say anything. He's seeing it in my life. See, and that makes the difference. When you can see something that made a change in you. There's people know how angry I used to be. But when they see me now, I'm a different person. Because I chose not to go that way. But it wasn't an overnight thing. It took a process. It took a lot of choices. A lot of mistakes. A lot of falling down. A lot of getting back up. But it took a quality decision on my part to make the change. And to ask the Holy Spirit to work in my life and make that change. You know, we've been talking, like I said, about anger and bitterness and all of this. We cannot allow ourselves to take offense or respond in anger. The price is too high. We must resist them taking every thought captive. Now, we've heard that scripture before, most of us. We do not take our thoughts captive unto the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the main problems that we have with our prayer life and our life in general. We do not do that. We just let whatever thought comes up, that's what comes out of my mouth, or that's how I respond. But I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to take that thought and filter it through the Word and filter it through the love walk and say, I don't want to respond that way. I'm choosing not to. It's the thought I had, but I'm not going that way. I'm not going to do that. We must take our thoughts captive. Those thoughts are related to doubt, unbelief, fretting, worry, fear, anger, bitterness. And like I said last week, bitterness does not start bitterness. It starts with strife. Then it moves from strife to anger, from anger to hatred, and from hatred to bitterness. Bitterness sucks the very life out of you and out of everyone involved. So the perfect way to do that is at the first sign of strife to cut its throat off when strife starts. Do not allow the strife to develop. You may be used to flying off that way, but catch it somewhere along the line and say, wait a minute, I know you got a testimony at work one time. We were talking about this, just you and I, mm-hmm. one time, and how you, in front of the people, said, wait, I can't do that. And it made a change, not only in you, but in the people around you. And that's what normally happens. But if you can cut it off at strife, then it never gets to anger. If it never gets to anger, it's not going to get to hatred. And if it don't get to anger, it's never going to get to bitterness. So you can deal with the strife when it's still strife. You can unhook yourself from that and make that work. But if you don't, then it's going to develop. And you've allowed Satan to have a foothold. So the way we do that is we take those thoughts captive. We must control our mind with the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, and this is the, didn't put it on New King James. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or mental. Carnal means mental or fleshly. They are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down arguments. What is an argument? It's strife, right? So casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now strife, anger, fear, bitter, worriness, fretting, all that is contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to Him. It's His enemies. It's your enemy too. So you're supposed to take those captive and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So I can't do that. Yes, you can, or God wouldn't have told you to do it. He's even put His Holy Spirit inside of each of us who are born again. He's there to teach us, to strengthen us. We'll see that here in a few moments. We actually draw our strength from the Holy Spirit and from the living Word of God. That's our roots are in the love walk. Our roots are in God. Our roots are in the Word. Our roots are in the Holy Spirit. Did you have something, Kathy?
2 Corinthians.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians. 10. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 5. 4 through 5.
Oh, 4 through 5.
Yeah,
somehow 4 and 5. I came up with 24.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have been clear. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 5. Okay. But our roots are in the Holy Spirit. Our roots are in the Word. That's where we draw our strength from. But bitterness, we talked about it last week, it draws its strength from our spirit. It's a root of bitterness, it says. We talked about that in detail last week, what a root is and how it actually sucks the life out of the person. Bitterness will suck your life out. It'll shorten your life. It'll affect your health. And I looked that up, what I was talking about cancer. There's tons of pages on the internet concerning that. Mayo Clinic and all of those have things with bitterness and worry and fear and anger and unforgiveness, how it affects our very life. And it even affects our heart. And it's amazing how these things work. But see, when we got ourselves rooted in the Word and rooted in the Holy Spirit, that brings life to us. It strengthens us. But if we're walking in the others, it weakens us. So we draw our strength from the Holy Spirit and the living Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. This is the Amplified Classic. In conclusion, and you know I love Paul. He's got another couple. He's not near done. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Now what? If I tell you to be something, what am I doing? I'm commanding you to do that. Right? Be angry. Don't be angry. No. But if be something, you know, be kind. That's a commandment. So when the Word of God says be strong, it doesn't just say be strong. You know, a lot of us will be kind of white-knuckle our way through life and I'm going to do this. You know, and that's not the way God wants you to do it. He says, be strong in the Lord. So he's telling you where to get your strength at. Be strong in the Lord. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. God provides the strength, but I got to choose it. I got to go to the Word, find out who I am, use His Scriptures to strengthen me, and commune with the Holy Spirit. That's when I commune with the Word, I commune with Him. When I pray, I'm communing with God. I'm to draw my strength to overcome these things, to overcome that anger, to overcome that strife, to overcome that bitterness, and those things that maybe even the person's already dead, but the strife is still living there, that bitterness is still there. I need to deal with it. And God will deal with it for me if I'll make the decision. He's telling us to be strong in Him, and He will deal with that. He strengthens us to work when we see we can't do it. Now we're going to look at John 14:26. We're using the Amplified Classic here, so that's about the only one that says it this way. The other ones are close, but they use just one word. But the Amplified Classic breaks down that word to what it actually means. John 14:26. But the Comforter, most of them will say Comforter. Some says Teacher. Some says Paraclete. They've got different words they use. But what does that word Comforter actually mean? The Greek word that's being used there for Comforter. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby. That's the job of the Holy Spirit does. That's His ministry within you and I. That's what that word Comforter or Helper means. The word is actually used there. It means that the Holy Spirit is, yes, He's my Comforter. That doesn't mean He's patting me on the back and saying, you poor thing. That's not what He's doing. I'll cry with you. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is God Himself, and He's living in me. That word Comforter means He's my Counselor. What does a Counselor do? A Counselor will teach me. I'll come to Him and, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know how to do this. He starts counseling me. What does He use? He uses the Word. He always uses the Word. God doesn't do anything without His Word. This is where He goes. He will start teaching you. Well, my child, do this. There'll be little impressions, little thoughts, little times that you'll just be going down the road and, oh, I know how to do that. But remember, when His counsel will always follow the ways of the Lord and the Word. We're going to be studying the ways of the Lord. That's really a good study. You'll like that. We're getting there. A couple more lessons and we'll be there. But the Holy Spirit will always show and reveal God's ways. And when He reveals His ways, that's the way we're supposed to respond. Because we're His child. We're His child. We're just like Him. We're born of God. When it says His way is love, His way is peace, His way is mercy, His way is compassion, those are His ways. The fruit of the Spirit, that's His ways. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's His ways. A way is His character. God always responds based on His character. And the Holy Spirit will always lead you in the ways of the Lord. He'll do it based on the Word. In other words, you say, "That I just don't know how to handle Fred. He's always, I love the guy, but he's always on my case. What do I do, Lord?" And I give you the testimony about somebody that wronged me. But the Holy Spirit will give you a little impression to do something. It might be to pray for him. It might be to do something for him that is unexpected. We talked about a gift given in secret pacifieth wrath, Proverbs 21:14, and how I used that without knowing I was using it, but I did, and how the Holy Spirit told me to do that. I wasn't expecting it. I would have never thought of that. But when I followed up what he said, it broke that thing. See, God knows the heart of the other person. He knows that other person's heart. He knows exactly why he is the way he is or why she's that way. He knows. He knows the misunderstandings that are there. He knows the whole path that took him to that place. He knows all of that. And he wants that to be changed in that other person's life as well as yours. He wants that. So when I ask him to show me and be my counselor here and that, he will do that. But see, I have to have faith that he's doing it. I have to believe it. And then when that impression comes, I need to act on it. If I don't act on it, eventually he'll stop communicating to me. But what will happen in the meantime, whatever you're dealing with is going to get worse. So my suggestion is, if you have those little impressions, they may not make sense to you. You may think that's the wildest off-the-wall thing you ever did. Like I told you my confession, my testimony. Give him $20. He don't need $20. He's got $100,000. He don't need $20. But the Lord said, you need it. He wanted me to sow my life into him. And when I did that, it broke it. But I had to do it secretly, where he didn't know where it come from. I give you that testimony. And I've had other things happen that way, not only with myself, but with other people, where the Holy Spirit would say just something in it. Usually it doesn't make sense to you. But the Holy Spirit knows where the other person is. He's counseling you how to handle that. Well, every time I see him, I fly off the handle. My mom was always that way. She's dead now and I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. You know, I told you about my mom. You know, and the abuse I had coming up. But God taught me how to forgive, even though they're dead. And I can tell you, I'm at peace in my life there. And mother's a witness to that. It took time. It took faith. It took trust. It took time in the Word. When you get more concerned about the other person than you are yourself, that's when love starts working. Love is always other-centered. It's always more interested in what happens to the other person than it is to you. When you're not walking in love, when you're walking carnally minded or fleshly minded or worldly minded, you're thinking about yourself. How's this going to affect me? But when you start thinking about how this benefits the other person, now you're on God's turf. Because God will flow through you to that person, to that circumstance. He'll start working there because you're focused on the other person and he'll take care of yours for you. You don't have to worry about yourself. He'll take care of you. Whenever the Holy Spirit counsels you, it'll always be with the interest towards the other person, which automatically affects you. And that's what I did with that guy that wronged me. As I told you, I was honestly, and I thought about it afterward. I didn't realize I was there, but I loved the guy. We were so close, and he thought I had done something that I didn't do, and it was hurting other people, not just me. But I was concerned about what it was going to do to him. You know, sometimes as parents, we correct our children not based on what we want to do, but we base it on what they need because of our love for them. Our love for our focus for them. We want them to grow. It doesn't make sense to them. They think we're mean, but we're not. We're thinking for their good. And I can look back at my life now, the things that I went through as a child, all that abuse and stuff. Some of that was my own fault. Some of it was my own perspective of what was going on. I was seeing it through the wrong eyes. Not everything that happened happened the way I saw it. It was different. And I got one image. I told you about it, where when I left that town, I was never going back. I'd had enough of abuse. And I didn't. And when I was forced to, because Mom was still alive, I remember one time, I may have shared it with you, maybe I didn't, but it stuck in my view and in my mind. I had to fight to go down there. You know, Larry probably don't know, but I was an adjuster for 32 years, and I was always gone. I was all over the state. And I'd go down there to work, past there, go down to Cape Girardeau to work, and then coming back home, I'd have to pass the road to that town that I said I'd never go to. But that's where Mom lived, and I'd have to fight. And so many times I just drove on by, I didn't go. I'd be guilty, I'd be upset, but I said I wasn't going to go back down there. Too many memories, too many hurts. But I would go. It was always a big blessing. I had to fight to go. But on this one time, Mom and Dad had set out, had an apple tree out back. And my stepdad had made a couple of old homemade chairs. They were good. He was good at what he did. But they'd always sit out there at night. I don't care how thick the mosquitoes were, and they were bad there. They were out there under that tree. And I pulled in. It was about 6 o'clock or so, and I pulled into the front. And it was a long, maybe 100 feet or so out to the front ditch from the back, something like that. About 100 feet, and they were sitting under that tree, and I saw them sitting there. And the company always give us new cars, so I don't think she recognized the car. We had a new car about every year. Anyways, I pulled in there, and she recognized. She jumped up. At 70 years old, she jumped up and ran out to that car. I'll never forget that. I just, at the time, I kind of stretched it off. Mom passed away, and we wound up. I've done the forgiveness, all that. We took care of all that, and she did a couple of years. I went to a convention, the Passion for Jesus, up in Kansas City, and a big old convention. And
International
House of Prayer, several days. And during that convention, this lady was there. And I looked at her, and she was Mom. There was no question that she was Mom. And she'd been dead for years. That lady was Mom. So it shook my timbers. And I went back to her, and I, after a while, and I told her my testimony. And I asked her, I said, would you mind sitting in for my mom? And she said, yeah, sure. I told her what the testimony was. And so I apologized to her. And I confessed all of it to her. And she was there, just there that night. And I went back up and said, I thanked her and went back up. And the Lord said he brought that image of Mom jumping up and running out to meet me. That night, he brought that image back to my mind. The Lord did, and he said, that was me running out to you. I'll never forget that. But it took a move on my part. But see, God is so faithful. Even if they're dead, you can still deal with it. God is faithful. He wants us to live in love with him and live to be his representatives, to genuinely be what we call a Christian, to walk this out. I'll never forget that. I get that image every now and then, seeing Mom running out there and knowing that it's the Lord running to me. I never thought about it at the time. It didn't make that kind of an impact. And that's been, 10 years ago that we were up there?
Gosh, longer than that.
It's been a long time.
07.
07. Something
no,
like that.
97.
Well, I had several other things happen up there, but it was a genuine passion for Jesus. See, when you focus on him, he can focus on you. And then he can get through this nasty mess up here. But okay, so he is our counselor. He counsels us in those times of trouble when we don't know what to do. He will counsel us. I'm sorry that affects me. The other one is he's our helper. It doesn't say he won't do it for us. He will help us. You know, have you ever said somebody, have somebody come, will you help me with this? And you wind up doing the whole job. That's not what you asked me to help you. You know, not do it. So anyways, he's our helper. When we ask the Holy Spirit, he counsels us, then he helps us with whatever we're struggling with. He imparts his strength, his wisdom, his ability. Then the angels go out and they start setting up circumstances to make things work. It's a process, but he's our helper. Then the other one is he's our intercessor. I like that. He's our intercessor. What's an intercessor? It's a go-between. I like to look at it as like it's this pipe. You got this tank full of something, and you're transferring it, siphoning gas. You know how to do that, don't you? I've had a bit of that in my mouth before.
Yeah.
I've done some of that. Siphoning gas is a good one. You got this container that has something in it, and you got something, my gas tank, that has nothing in it. So the intercessor is the hose that runs from one to the other. But the intercessor had to be activated. When I grew up on it and got that vacuum in there, that gas ran. It ran until you stop it. But the intercessor is a go-between. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our intercessor with the Father. He knows our hearts. And he knows the Father's heart. But he also knows that person I'm at odds with. He knows them. He knows the perfect way to bring reconciliation that you will never be able on your own to accomplish. You can't. It won't work. You're not going to be able to get through that. It's too hard. But he can work on both sides at the same time. While you're talking, he can impart to that other person, even if they don't know him. And God wants to impart to that other person. He wants that person free. He wants them free. And we should want them free. So when we do that, when we approach it, I don't care what the difference was. I don't care how serious it was. The Holy Spirit knows why. You think you know why it's that way, but we really don't. There's more to it than what we know. That kind of thing never starts with just a little simple thing. There's usually a whole bunch of things that are involved that don't appear to be, that are, that puts that thing together and it winds up a big mess. And you couldn't point to any one of them and know where to start. But God knows where. He knows exactly where. And that Holy Spirit that lives in each of us that are born again, he lives there. He's being our intercessor. He's drawing the two together. He's teaching us. He's supplying us the knowledge. It takes time. It may not work the first time appear to us, but the seed was planted. The seed was planted. And for instance, a good example is your brother. You're interceding for him. I intercede for him every day. And mother and I do it separate. We do it twice a day together on my own. So we're joining our prayers with yours. The Holy Spirit knows right where he is. And he's working on that.
Better than I do.
Amen. And that's so awesome. But then the next one, he's our intercessor or our go-between, not only with the Father, but with each other. Then the next one is he's our advocate. Now anyone that's been in trouble in any way knows what an advocate is, or should know. He's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. He's our advocate. This is the law book. He's our advocate. When we are when there's something wrong in our life and sin, for instance, or whatever, we've been going down this pathway for a while and we know we're wrong and we want to get it right. Well, He goes to the Father for us. We take the word, we speak it and lay claim to what He said, then He uses that word to defend us. He's our defense attorney. Who's accusing us? Satan is. You know, he did this, he did that. You know, you did that over there. And the attorney comes up, the Holy Spirit says, okay, did he ask forgiveness? Well, yes. Well, then he's forgiven. It's no longer credited to his account. Price is paid. Jesus paid the price. And he accepted the price. He's not guilty. Isn't that awesome? That's really awesome. I'm not guilty. And I've got some things that we all do. But if we're born again, we're not guilty. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And then the next one is, He's our strengthener. Not only is He our counselor and helper in those times of trouble and our attorney, but He strengthens us. It's amazing how when you get in those moments of conflict that it's like it sucks the strength out of you. Have you ever been in one of those? You know, you mean well and you're trying to help the person and they're coming down on you right and left and it's like everything you're trying to do, it's for them because of love, but yet that anger is sucking your strength out. That's what happens with bitterness. It sucks your life out. Well, when you're walking the Word of God, when you're loving Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to do His part, there's a strength that comes into you, and that life is not going out. You're being strengthened right in the middle of that conflict because you're loving the other person. You're loving the other person. And He's guarding your lips. You won't say what you normally would say. There's a kind of a guard there that you know, hey, I shouldn't say that. And if you do say it, then you repent right away and make it right. He can make it right. But He's the one that strengthens us from the inside and gives us the ability to do things we would never be able to do otherwise. There's some people that are so bitter at us that you can't even get close to them. But the Holy Spirit can fix that. I've got a son that's that way. Mother and I have no idea what happened. But we know the city he's in, but he doesn't want any communication at all. And he had a rough life. He came up alcoholism and all that stuff. And be police picking him up in the street, laying in the middle of the street. And take him to mom when she's working at Walmart, put him in the car and say, yeah, put your son in your car.
Yeah. He passed out on the street. Your car.
And we bailed him out.
We passed out up on Pine Street.
Yeah. We done everything we could. Praise God. He met a girl and he started getting his life together. He fixed his life. But like me, I wasn't going back. And I think that's the same thing with him. When he comes back, when he gets back involved again, all that comes back up. And he got rid of it. And he's not going back there anymore. Well, I honor that. But it still hurts me. But I love my son. We pray for him every day. The Holy Spirit knows his heart. I don't. That's been going on for 20 years. I have no... For a while there, we knew where he lived. We could not call him. We could call his wife. And leave a text message. And we could send a birthday card. But then he moved and he decided we're not even going to have his address. In the last 6 months, they don't even respond to the text or the call.
I've got his address kind of by accident.
But we don't want to
We can't contact him because if we knew where he lived, they'd move again.
We want to honor him.
I mean, this is a serious thing.
You know, so, so out of love for him, I will spend the rest of my life without ever seeing him again, if that's what it takes. I hope it doesn't take that. And I'm relying on the Holy Spirit to deal with that. And I believe he will. I don't know when. But I don't think we did anything, and I don't think it's us. It might be, but I don't think it is. And there's such a thing as, it's not what we did, but what we didn't do, maybe, in his eyes. But I look at it this way, and I've mentioned it several times. You got these two people in conflict. This one believes you did something. You didn't do it. And you're trying to get the other person to see that you didn't do it. It's not going to work. They believe you did. Now, the issue is not whether or not you did it. That's not the issue at all. The issue is the fact that they believe you did. So it's still real. Whether you did it or not, that's not the issue. The issue is they believe you did. So to that person, it's as real as if you did it. So the circumstances are still the same as if you did. So to fix it is the same thing. You've got to have the Holy Spirit do it. You can't fix that. You will never convince them that they didn't do that. You didn't do that. You're never going to convince them that. Because they believe it. It's going to have to come from somewhere else. But now the neat thing is the Holy Spirit knows. And he can reveal. And see, when I go to my... whatever get together, I've done it long distance because I couldn't get with him, but one of these days I'll see him. And I'm not going to talk about what he did or did not do or what I did or did not do. I'll just apologize to him for my part. I had a part in it. So I apologize to him for my part. I'm not going to defend anything. Because I can't change anything. See, I'll never be able to change it. The Holy Spirit can't. But it takes time. So that's what we gotta understand. He is our strengthener, but he's our standby also. I love the standby. Most people don't see the importance of a standby. A standby, one of the best definitions for me to understand standby, that the Holy Spirit's our standby, would be like a jail or prison or a hospital or some military place. When the power goes out, this generator kicks in immediately. Our office had a whopping big generator. Our home office did. And it just sat there. It never did anything. It cost tens of thousands of dollars. Just sit there. Never did run. But when the power goes out, immediately, it's on and you're back to full strength. Without that, everything would have been dead. But see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Not only does he strengthen us in our times of trouble, our time of need, our time of... when we're running out of strength, when we run completely out, he strengthens, he's our standby. He kicks in and takes our place. How can we ever go wrong? I mean, God himself is living in us. So he's our comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. Now we have another intercessor. His name is Jesus. The word says that he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. all the time. He's constantly before the Father interceding for us. So we got Jesus interceding for us. We got the Holy Spirit doing all these things. And all we got to do is take His word, believe it, and apply it. Okay. And He does it. We don't have to make it work. Part of our problem in life is we try to make things work. We don't have to make it work. We just got to believe it and trust the Lord to do His part if we do ours. He always does His part. So that's so important to us. John 14:26, but the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He sent Him in my place to represent me and to act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. All things. And He will cause you to recall. See, the neat thing about it is, when you're going through those conflicts, if I put the word in, or heard it, He can bring it back to my memory. See, it's not a mental thing. It's a spiritual thing. And it's in my spirit, man, not my head. He'll bring that word back up to me to counsel me with it and to show me how to handle that circumstance or that situation, because I've taken the time to put it in. I had a relationship with Him. I pray. I spend some time with Him. I study His word. And now that word's in my spirit, man. I may have heard it 10 years ago, but the Holy Spirit will bring it back up because I need it now. It may not be word for word, but it'll be the principle that word covers. And He'll always bring the ways of the Lord up. Nate, you have some?
Well, it's just, if you take the time to put the word in, He's the one that will bring it back out.
Yeah.
He will.
And it won't even necessarily be a time where that's what you're thinking. But He'll just reach down and go,
there it is. There it is. And you'll think, where did that come from? It come from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But He will teach us all things. He will cause us to remember, bring it back to our remembrance. And then verse 27, Jesus said here, this is Jesus talking. It was all Jesus talking, but Jesus, His own thing, peace I leave with you. Now, whose peace? The Holy Spirit is. So He's leaving us the Holy Spirit. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. What is a bequeath? When somebody dies, they have a will. They bequeathed you something. It's something that they want you to receive. Why did He say it that way? He's still alive here. Well, He's not going to be very long. He's going to the cross here in a couple hours, and He knows that. So it says, my peace I leave with you, my own peace I give to you and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. In other words, it's not the world's kind of peace. You know, the world's idea of peace, we've done a long series on peace one time, and what it is and how to walk in it. And one of the things I said is, in that series, peace, the man's kind of idea of peace, is like an absence of conflict. That's the idea, man's way of thinking, it's an absence of conflict. But this peace is not an absence of conflict. You know, it's that rest. That rest that no matter what's going on, you're at rest. You're at peace. No matter how big the storm is, no matter how big the fight is, you're at rest in God. That's when you're truly strong. But it's not a matter of fact, this kind of peace, you'll have to fight to keep it. You'll have to fight your own head. You'll have to fight your head. You'll have to fight not to get angry. You'll have to fight not to fly off the handle when you normally would. But that peace is in you, and that peace will override that if you will allow it to. And the more you do it, the more you allow that peace to rise up in those times of conflict, the more you do that, the stronger you get.
Amen.
The easier it is the next time. You'll fall down. You'll make mistakes. But get up again. That's what the Lord told me one time. He said, I'm not looking at how many times you fall. I'm looking at how many times you get back up. And I'll help you get back up. That taught me so much. I see that in His Word. He's not looking at how many times I fall. He knows I'm going to do that. He wants me to get back up. And I have to choose to do that. Okay. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not. Now what's that? Commandment. Okay. Do not let. Okay, so that means I have a choice to make. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. You know, it takes no strength at all to fly off the handle, does it? We're good at it. Have you ever had to gather up strength to get mad? No. I mean, it just happened, doesn't it? But it takes some diligence to not get mad. You know, they say, well, they're going to walk, if you walk in peace and love, they're going to walk all over you. No, they won't. The strongest person there is the person that's determined to walk in peace. It's not an easy thing, but you're not alone doing it. The Holy Spirit is strengthening us. Love is the most powerful weapon there is. Nothing can defeat it. There's nothing as strong as God's love. It will defeat anything.
Amen.
If we will walk in it. So, no matter how big a conflict you're in, and we've all had them, we may have them again, no matter how big it is, make a quality decision to love them with the love of the Lord, no matter what they're doing. It may take some guts. It takes some guts to stand there and have somebody abuse you. Takes a man to do that. Takes a man to stand there and let the other person fly off the handle at you, cuss you out, even swing at you, and you not respond back in like kind. Takes a man to do that. Ask me how I know. Don't ask me. Don't like.
As you've been sharing, verse came to memory in terms of a soft word turns away wrath.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. A soft word turns away wrath. Overcome evil with good. Mm-hmm. We talked about that when we talked about loving your enemies there a few weeks ago. But we'll take up there next week and go on. We got about one, maybe two more before we get into the ways of the Lord. I want to get there because if you know His ways, how He responds, the Bible's through Him. Plural with what His ways are, what His character is. I come up with about, I believe there's 26, and there's more, but that is very clear that this is His way or His character. If I know what somebody's character is, then I know how he's going to respond. I know what kind of person he is. Well, if we know what God's ways are, then we know when we look at it, whether it's God doing it or whether it's the enemy, whether it's, and we know how we're to respond to it, because we're supposed to be responding in love. God is the being love, so that's all he can do. He can't respond any other way. So everything he does, even wrath, like we mentioned, he has wrath, but it's aimed at sin, not at the person, and things that separate you from him. Even his wrath is founded in love. It has love as his foundation. All that he does is love. He can't do anything other than that because he is the being love. Just like a dog is a dog, they're going to be a dog. They're not going to meow. I haven't ever heard one meow. I haven't. You can train them to do a lot of things, but you can't take the dog out of the dog. You can't take the cat out of the cat. We had a first moved here. We were here a little while. A new couple moved next door over there. They were just moving in. And we had a cat. The kids were all little. I won't have a dog because I was an adjuster for 32 years. And I fought them things tooth and nail everywhere I went and worked all kinds of claims with them. So I wouldn't have a dog. But we had a cat. And that cat got on their car over there. And he come over there. First time he met me, he knocked at the door. He said, "Look, I hate to meet you this way, but your cat is on my car. And if it scratches that new paint job, I'm going to sue you."
Yeah.
Well, you ever try to keep a cat off of the car or anything else? The character of that cat, it's going to do what it wants to do. You try to keep it. It's going to do what it wants to do. That's the way most of our people are. We do what we want to. But when you see the character of God, He's going to do what He wants to do. He's going to do it. But it's always in love. So that's why I'm excited to get into the ways of the Lord, so we can see His character and then we can see how He responds. It's all through the Word. It brings great joy to you. You can see Him then at work and around you.
Is that why when it talks about Paul persecuting people of the way?
Yeah.
What's that?
The way.
The way. It's capitalized.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Way.
The way. Yeah, the way. Mm-hmm. He's talking about God's way. Mm-hmm. Because that's supposed to be our ways. 1 John 4:17 says, "As He is, so are we in this world. As He is love. So we're love. In this world, we're love creatures. That's what we're supposed to be doing." So it's an exciting study. Well, Father, we thank You for this time tonight in the Word. We thank You for teaching us these things. Lord, we love You so much, and we thank You for Your presence in our life. We ask You, Lord, that as we go through our daily lives, maybe have some struggles and problems and issues come our way, we ask You by Your Spirit to teach us how to respond properly according to Your Word and to Your will, because we want You to be able to move through us into that situation. We want that other person blessed. We want them to know You. And we thank You, Father, that You teach us Your ways. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Lord.